So far, we have covered a lot on the show in the last five episodes. We've gone over a lot of the basics and how to think about book launches. We've talked about the four different types of book launches. We've talked about fans and influencers. We talked about how to figure out what kind of launch you're running of the four different types of launches. I introduce you to the framework I use of sell to fans, get fans to share, and get influencers to promote. And I kind of walk through how I think of each of those things. So a lot of high level stuff, but trying to give you the beginnings of how to start building out your book launch plan. Now, along the way, I told you that you could submit questions by going to booklaunchshow.com and putting questions in there. And I've gotten a ton of questions. I'm always overwhelmed. I always assume nobody's actually going to listen to or read anything that I produce. So when people do and they respond, I'm always pleasantly surprised. So today I'm going to start going through your questions, and this might expand into two episodes because we got so many questions. But just to introduce myself, I'm your host, Tim Grawl. I've been working with authors to help them build their platforms and launch best-selling books for over 8 years. I've launched dozens of best-selling books. They've gone as high as number one on the New York Times, Wall Street Journal, Washington Post, USA Today, all the other bestseller lists. I've also worked with authors just getting their first books off the ground and out into the world. I've created this show, The Book Launch Show, to share the strategies and tactics I've learned along the way. And so I'm just going to jump into some of your questions and try to answer these. And I like these shows for two reasons. One is, it allows me to get into the nitty-gritty because I can, you know, it's that whole thing of like, you know, any plan falls apart as soon as you actually start putting that plan into place. I think there's a war reference there somewhere. But anyway, anytime you can make an awesome plan and then when you actually try to put that plan into place, things start to fall apart. And that's because every book launch is unique depending on the author, the platform, the type of book, the genre, traditionally published for self-published, all that kind of stuff. And so I try to give frameworks so that you can learn how to make your own decisions. But then I like answering questions because I can get in the nitty-gritty and kind of show you how I think. So like I've started taking Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu and I make the coach tell me why he wants me to do everything a certain way, because I don't want to just learn a certain move. I want to learn why he's thinking the way he is, why he does things the way he does. So then I can start making decisions on my own, right? I don't want to just learn one technique. I want to learn how to think so I can make decisions on my own. I want the same for you. The second reason I like doing questions-based shows is it takes less time to prepare. I just find the questions and write them down and decide I'm going to answer them. So I like that as well. So, okay, we're going to jump in. Now, for some of the, I'm not giving names along with these because a lot of times I get the same questions over and over and I just kind of meld them all into one overarching question. So I'm going to start here. So how long should I spend on marketing? If I only have X hours a day, you know, 3 hours a day or an hour a day or whatever, what percentage of that time goes into marketing versus writing? And does it matter how many books I have out to spend time on writing, that kind of stuff? So I will start with the fact that like you should always be writing first. And that's because marketing has to have something to sell. So if you're not producing books, then you're not producing things that you will then be marketing, right? So marketing doesn't exist in the vacuum. You have to actually write books to put out into the world. The other thing is like you probably got into this because you wanted to be a writer, not because you wanted to be a professional marketer. So I always recommend that you take the time to get your writing in first. So even if you're just getting your 500 words a day or 1,000 words a day on your work in progress, the important thing is to get that time in and get your manuscript going, because every new book is another entry point. It's another way for people to find you. It's another launch event that will help you grow your platform. So I do think you should be putting your writing in first. And so I don't think of this as percentage of time. So if you have an hour that you should write for 30 minutes and then market for 30 minutes. A lot of times what I recommend is, you know, get your writing in first, and then with any time that you can after, you want to be doing your marketing. What I normally recommend to people is to do two things a week. Now, this is getting away from just launching a book, and I'm going to address the question on launches. But in general, this is just general, like ongoing marketing, building your platform, the long game launch, all that kind of stuff. I recommend if you can focus on doing two good things a week. So maybe you write a new blog post and you're on a podcast this week. And then next week you send out four pitches to podcasts. That's one thing. And then you send out an email newsletter and that's your second thing. And if you just do two things a week, every week for the entire year, at the end of the year, you've done 104 things to market your book and these things start to stack up. So that's what I've seen is that if you can just keep chipping away at this a little at a time, a little at a time, a little at a time, over time, it builds up. Now, there was a question about, included in that question was like, does it matter like how many books I have out? Because a lot of times, especially in fiction, it talks, you know, it matters to have like an entire series out, or it matters to make sure you're releasing on a tighter schedule, or maybe I should wait till I have five books out before really going after marketing. That's a lie you're telling yourself so you don't actually have to do the tough thing, which is marketing, right? You should be marketing before the book comes out. And because when I talk about fans and influencers, and you can be connecting with influencers before your book is even out, and you should be. Like, you should always be in that marketing mode of how can I connect with new people, right? My definition of marketing, creating long-term connections and being relentlessly helpful. You can do that if you don't have a book. You're trying to create connections with people. Remember that of like a lot of times when I say the word marketing, people hear things like Facebook ads, or they hear, you know, writing blog posts to promote your book or sending out a bunch of email newsletters to promote your book. And no. Marketing is creating long-lasting connections with people and being relentlessly helpful. And you know what? You can do that even if you don't have a book out. So from before you have a book out all the way through the day you retire or die, you should be marketing. You should be looking at how you can connect with people and how you can be relentlessly helpful. So as far as how many hours you should put in the day, this is how I look at it, is my writing comes first. I need to get my writing done on my work in progress. And then I spend the rest of that time marketing. So if I have 8 hours a day, like I can only like get good writing done for maybe 2 hours, 3 hours at most. And I'll spend the rest of the time marketing. But if today I only have 2 hours that I can put towards my platform, I'm going to, you know, write for 45 minutes or an hour, and I'm going to spend the rest of the time marketing. Now, when it comes to a book launch, basically everything changes. So for that 6-8 weeks around a book launch, I'm probably not writing a new book. I'm not working on a work in progress. I'm working on getting everything set up for the launch. I'm 100% focused on this book launch. So I just don't, a book launch time is like its own anomaly where I just set aside this time and it's only about the book launch. When I think about marketing day in and day out, I'm thinking, you know, two things a week. And this is what I did when my book was out. I had a more than full-time job running a consultant. I didn't have all this spare time to market my own book. And so I kept thinking, what two things can I do this week to just, you know, inch everything forward a little bit more? And what two things can I do next week and the next week and the next week? And they stack up over time. Okay, so this is a question, this is an interesting question. So when and how should we transition to the long game? So this particular person that asked the question had a book. They self-published a book in 2011. It did pretty well. It got picked up by a trade publisher and republished, traditionally published in 2014. They kind of used their network and everything to sell the book early on. Like, what can they do now to get those sales up? So you probably won't like my answer, but the answer is it's going to be really, really hard. This book now has been out for, well, we're in the last, I'm recording this the last week of 2016. So this book has been out now for 5 years, almost six. And it's going to be hard to get momentum going for a book that's been out that long. What I would recommend doing is continue writing, write a sequel to that book, continue the series, write a new book, and come up with something new that you can market. It's really hard to keep marketing something that is really old. It's not that it's a bad book or the book itself is dated. Like, I'm sure the book still stands on its own. But you're going to be hard pressed to get people really excited about buying something that's been out for so long. Even though it was republished in 2014, it's still the book has still been out since 2011. And so you can use the book as like to build your author platform. Like, look, I have this book. But again, it's hard to get people excited about something that's that old. And so the question was how to transition to the long game. And basically what you do is you do the launch, and then immediately when the launch is done, you start doing more outreach, more building your email list more. You just keep doing those two things a week like I was talking about. But if you haven't been doing much for a couple years or 5 years or whatever, that's a really cold engine to turn over. And I would recommend starting to, you know, do the things to connect with other authors, do the things to build your website, you know, get to know other people. But also, I would start working hard on a new book that you can come out that you can use as like a flashpoint to launch a new book and get people excited. So this was, the next question was from a romance author, self-published romance author. So, and if you, the romance genre, especially in the self-published world, is kind of a different animal than a lot of the books that I've worked on in some very peculiar ways. So let me start there and then I'll answer the question. So, if I am a business book author, whether I'm self-publishing or not, a lot of times you're on a 1 year, it's probably more like a 2 year release cycle. Maybe it's a 1 year release cycle where each year you're coming out with a new book, or every 2 years you're coming out with a new book. Some of my clients, they don't come out with a new book for 3 years or 4 years. And so you want the bigger the space in between books, the bigger the launch you want it to be, right? So if I'm coming out with a book every 2 years, that's going to be a huge event, right? Because this is my first book in 2 years. I've been working on it for 2 years and I'm going to launch it, and it's going to be huge. Now, when it comes to genre fiction, especially self-published fiction, they're on much tighter release schedules. You know, I talk to authors that release a new book every month. And it's to just because the more books they get out there, especially in these genres like the romance genre, where people just read tons of books. I read this thing a few years ago where the people that read the most, like the diehard romance readers, read an average of 32 books a month. A month. That means they're reading more than one book a day, right? So that's just insane. And so for a romance author, you want to have as many titles out as you can, because people are just eating through these. And that's several genres are like that. Romance is probably, from what I've heard, the most just voracious readers, but there's other genres of genre-based fiction where you want to get as many books out as you can, because people, once they find you, they're going to run through your entire backlist. So that's a different thing. And so normally what I recommend for authors like that is, like, say you're releasing 12 books a year, right? You're coming out with one every month. What you should do is take one of those books and make that your kind of launch point. So whether it's you're starting a new series, you want to make that first book a big launch, so that you can get as many people on board with reading that series. So when you come out with the other books, they'll read those as well. So normally what I tell you to do is, like, just release the other ones kind of quietly and have a big launch thing for, like, the book that you think has the legs to go the furthest. Now, as far as pre-orders, so I want to talk, I got to back up and talk about the point of pre-orders, right? So when I'm talking about a pre-order campaign, it's mostly to go after the bestseller lists that are not the Amazon ranking lists, right? Like, it's not about getting number one in your category or staying high in your category. It's about hitting the bigger lists, like the USA Today, Wall Street Journal, New York Times. And how the bestseller lists work is They count sales by week, right? So each week, all the sales from that week get counted, and whoever sells the most becomes a bestseller. In general, that's not true for all the bestseller lists, especially in the New York Times. That's for another show, though. But what's really special about that first week that your book comes out is the books get counted when they are delivered to the Kindle or the e-reader or when they are shipped. And so what that means is if I buy a book 3 months before it's out, it ships that first week. So that purchase from 3 months ago counts towards that first week of sales because that's when it gets shipped. So it's the only time in your book's life that you can just bank sales for like 3 months or 6 months or whatever. Like all the sales leading up to that first week of launch get counted towards that first week. And then after that, your book's out. And then it's just a week by week basis. And so why we do pre-orders is to bank those sales. It allows us to do a month-long launch where all of those sales count towards the first week. So they all get compressed into that first week. So if you can sell for 4 weeks before the book comes out, and all those sales get counted into 1 week, so you're much more likely to hit the bestseller list. That's why publishers put so much emphasis on the launch week of the book, is because that's when those pre-orders come out. That's when all those pre-orders count. That's your best chance of hitting the bestseller list. Now, if you are trying to put your book into KDP Select, you're doing Amazon only, you're self-publishing, you can do pre-orders. So I know in Kindle and KDP, they allow you to set up pre-orders for your book. There's kind of this roundabout way that you can offer pre-orders of your print book through CreateSpace and Amazon. You kind of have to do a weird thing. But normally what I recommend for self-published books is where you're not trying to hit one of the major bestseller lists, you're just trying to sell a bunch of books, is to just publish your book and then do the campaign for the first two to four weeks that the book is out, right? So this is what I did for my book. I said, okay, the book's now out. It's now published. You can go buy it. You'll get it, you know, in 2 days if you're on Amazon Prime. So, but if you buy the book anytime in the next month, I'm going to send you these bonuses, right? You got to remember that the whole bonus pre-order thing is focused on creating that scarcity I talked about back in, I think it was episode two or three, I talked about creating that scarcity. And so the whole point of doing the bonuses is to create a scarcity. So you can create a scarcity when your book is already out, so you don't have to do pre-orders. So if you are trying to, if pre-orders are going to mess up your system, mess up how you're doing KDP, just don't do them. The whole point of pre-orders is to bank sales towards the major bestseller list. But if you're not trying to sell enough books to actually hit one of those bestseller lists, don't worry about it. Just say if your book comes out on June 1st, that's absolutely fine. Just tell everybody, as long as you buy my book sometime before June 30th, you get all these bonuses. It'll work exactly the same. That's what I did for my book. I did, if they bought it in the first 2 weeks that it was out, they would get all these bonuses. And that's how I was able to sell 1,000 copies of my book so fast. Okay, so I only got through 3 questions in this episode, and we're already bumping up against the time that I want to cut these off. So I'm going to extend this into episode 8. So we will see you in a couple days for episode 8, and I'll continue answering your questions. But I just want to say thanks for listening to this episode of the Book Launch Show. For all the past episodes and show notes, all of that can be seen at booklaunchshow.com. If you want to submit your own question for future Q&A episodes, you can do that at booklaunchshow.com as well. And lastly, since this is still a pretty new show, you can help me out by going to iTunes and leaving a rating and review. We've already got, I think, 34 of them up there. It means a lot to me. I read every single one of them. So I really appreciate the time you take to share the show with your friends and leave your ratings and reviews. So thanks for listening, and I will see you in the next episode.